Welcome to Social Conversations with Katrina. Hey. I'm Najeda Chaputo. I am the host of Social Conversations with Najeda. I am passionate about dance. This was a song by Haitian artist Jay Perry. I am Haitian American. I love to dance. Aside from dance, I'm also passionate about nature. I love spending time in nature. Enjoy that. I love donating my time, like making a difference in causes that matters to me, specifically empowering people in my home in Haiti. And I'll be going to Haiti this pretty soon. Well, I'm going at the end of November. And also, I'm also very much passionate about empowering women in getting to know who they are so they can fully embrace and love themselves and speak their truth. I'm a firm believer that just like they say, you need to know, you know, you have to know somebody. You have to know all their dark side. You know, there's a quote by Marion Williamson. I can't remember how it goes exactly, where it says that you, until you know somebody's darkness, you don't know if you love them. So it's the same thing with yourself. I am a, you know, I believe, and it's been my experience, it's been my own journey, that in order for you to truly love yourself, you have to know who you are, and you have to be able to embrace all of yourself. The things about you that you don't really like, that you would like to change, and the things about you that you actually love, okay? And so I'm very much passionate about helping women, helping people in general do it. I tend to relate more a little bit with women because of the fact that I am a woman myself. And so as professionally, I'm a self-love educator. I am a certified professional coach. Most people know me as a life coach, empowerment coach, you know, it's just all these different titles. I'm also an empowerment speaker, spiritual teacher, author. And professionally, what I do is that I help, which is very much linked to my passion, I empower purpose-driven and ambitious women who want to be leaders, who want to be able to lead more and make a difference, make an impact in the world. I help them really get to know who they really are and love and embrace who they really are fully, so that they can then have the courage to speak their truth so they can lead in whichever area in their lives that they are meant to lead in and they're meant to impact. So the thing is that, so this is what I wanted to talk about this week. Well, actually, I just realized when I mentioned Haiti, I think in my last episode, I did not have an episode last week because I had some technical issues and I just decided not to force it. But I realized, I think my last episode, I think I said I was going to talk about Haiti this week, but I'm not. So you'll hear about my Haiti empowerment trip soon, probably in the next one. So actually, this is the first time that I'm going to be sharing this like that. So I was, you know, actually, let me do some housekeeping before. I don't want to make sure. So as I said, if you've been listening to me, or maybe some of you will listen to this a year from now, 2 months from now, I'm sort of in a transition and redesigning my business so it could be more conscious, so it could be more in alignment with who I am, who I truly am. And I had been trying to decide, you know, when I first started this, I think initially I wanted to do every 2 weeks, and I was doing every week, and then I went to every 2 weeks, and then I took a break because I really needed to really reconnect with myself and really be able to be still and hear what God, what my higher power wanted me to do. I really wanted to. One of the powerful questions that I got from Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith is, he, you know, was trying to emerge from me, you know, and I really needed to do that. So that's what I did. And so I've been like you know, getting back to business as usual and really trying to find what is it that works for me. And one of the things that I've decided when it comes to this podcast, to my podcast, I've chosen that I want to, you know, I don't want to have, I've chosen that what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to break them down in seasons. I'm going to break down my episodes in seasons. So right now I've chosen to record, like have released 8 episodes at a time. And when I say at a time, basically, you know, one season is going to be 8 episodes and weekly episodes. And then I'm going to be taking a break. I'm still trying to figure out, am I going to take a month or more? And then I'll come back with another 8 episodes, which will be, you know, each episode, 1 episode per week. So I just wanted to let you know about that. So if for some reason you're listening to this and you didn't get an episode, you notice that you're not getting an episode a week and then the following week again, that's probably because you caught me when I'm in my breaks. So just wanted to clarify that before. So actually, I was like, do I want to share about this? But I was like, you know what? Like they say, things, you get better at it. It becomes clearer and everything when you actually are stepping out, like sharing it and saying it. And, you know, and in some way, you guys are like my guinea pig right now. So those of you who are listening, so I found out something last week. Yeah, last week that I was like, wow, I didn't really think about that. So, you know, I have a good friend of mine. She's actually, I would even call her my coach in a way, because we've done a session together and I'm going to be doing a program with her. She's going to be launching a program pretty soon and I'm already going to be in that program. So we were talking because we're also friends. So we really talk to each other. We kind of like help each other out. We're like sounding boards for each other. And she said to me, you know, Najeda, I realized something because, you know, she's somebody I met online. So she's not somebody who's known me forever and ever. Or it's not like, I think we met like about 2 years ago online when we did a course together. But actually, we did not really connect until she's been on my podcast, Kat Kim. We did not really connect until I reached out to her last year about being on my podcast. So I reached out to her sometime last winter and she joined me on my podcast and she's been here twice. So either way, so Kat says, you know, Najeda, I was thinking about something. I don't know your story. And I said, really? And then I was thinking, well, you know what? Kat hasn't known me, you know, I was like, she hasn't known me that long. Maybe she hasn't seen all my social media posts because, you know, I'm in Miami, she's in Seattle, although she knows a lot of things about me that even other people don't. But I was like, really? Okay. I was like, maybe is it that she's missed, you know, maybe, you know, and could it be because of the length of time? But even then I realized that, okay, but you know, I know her story. I mean, I don't know a lot. Obviously, I've gotten a lot more from her when she, you know, when we got, we know, when we started talking regularly, you know, and really like connecting with each other a lot more. But I know, like, some, you know, like her story. And I realized, okay, it doesn't seem like I've put out there a story like that. So, as I was thinking about it, I was like, you know what? Looks like she's right. And then I reached out to someone else that is online. And actually, I think she was on my email list, or she is, I can't remember. And I told her, hey, do you know my story? Do you feel like you know my story? And I told her, be straight with me. Like, I really want you to be honest with me. And she said, you know, no, I have to be honest. Like, you know me, I'm honest. I don't know your story. I know you're passionate about Haiti. I know you you were in D.C. That wasn't your thing working there. I knew that you, she was like, I know you're a Zumba instructor. She actually used the word Zumba coach. So I used to teach Zumba. Everybody knows that because I'm always dancing. I post pictures of, I mean, videos of me dancing, whether I'm home doing a dance party or if I'm leading a class, I'm leading, you know, the class in a song that I don't teach regularly anymore. But you know, I post videos of me leading to a song, so everybody knows that about me. I think most people do. And then that's when it was like, I was like, oh my God, like people don't know my story. And what I realized was that I've given bits and pieces of them and different things, and I thought about, because one of the things that I've been really owning is self-love. Like for me, and that's why now I call myself a self-love educator, because self-love has been huge in my journey. And for me, everything that I've put, every time I speak my truth and I choose to be my authentic self, and I'm like sharing who I am and I'm dancing, like for me, that is all a way of loving myself, you know? But what I realized is that, because sometimes, you know, people think that, you know, because there's so many types of self-love or so many people doing self-love that, you know, it's about, you know, loving yourself exactly as you are, like your body, if you're trying to lose weight, but you know, loving yourself with the fat, whatever it is, like whatever it is for you. And for me, my self-love, the one that I practice, which has that as well, but it's a lot more than just what a lot of people are doing, you know. And when I say a lot more, it's different. I don't want to say that I'm like doing like better or something. So either way, so I thought, okay, you know what? So I'm gonna share my story, and I have to say that I'm still really I've been putting the pieces together. What I'm noticing is that, and this is why I was like, you know what, this is what I'm going to talk about. This is what I want to share with my listeners, with my audience, with people who are going to be watching this video this week or next year, whatever. I'm not going to try to like wait until this is like all perfect. So I'm Haitian American. I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, from Haitian parents. Well, my mom is American, my mom is Haitian American, like Haitian naturalized. I was born in the States. And when I was about 2.5 years old, my dad wanted to go back home. He was tired of being, after they got married, they went to France, because my dad is an engineer. I think he had some type of scholarship or some internship, something like that there. So, they went there, which is where my first, my eldest brother was born. Then they went to Zaire, which is now called Democratic Republic of Congo, in Africa. At the time, they were looking for French-speaking teachers. So my dad got a teaching position and went there. That's where they had my other brother, who's the one right before me. And not sure how, actually, I never thought about asking them. They then got their residency and moved to the States. And that's where my sister and I were born. So at some point, my dad, they were like, I know their home was burned. Like it was, I don't think it was all the way down, but there was arson there. And it had to do with race. It was a racism act. It was an act of racism. And they got tired. I think there were some issues. I don't know if my dad was, I think it was something. I remember there were like lack of jobs. So my dad decided he wanted to go back. So they went back to Haiti. So either way, talking about me. So I grew up in Haiti, where if I look at my story and to who I am right now, is I've always been, I guess what you would say, the good girl, doing what I was taught to do. Don't talk back. Don't disappoint people. I did realize that whenever I would, like, you know, in some way, I was expected to be a good student, to be a good girl, to be a the good daughter. And each time I would like really try to step and be my own person and do the things I love. And for me, one of the ones that really stands out for me is my love of dancing. Yes, I did go to dance class. And actually, I was thinking, I think at some point, you know, when you're a child, you don't know what you want. I think we said we didn't want to go anymore, my sister and I, and then we started taking the piano. So either way, which we ended up stopping because of some political issues. It wasn't easy to get to because it wasn't close to home. But basically, for me, one of the ways that I noticed that in some way I was suppressed, and when I say suppressed, like teased, I was teased for my height because I'm short. I was teased for my weight because I used to be very skinny. And these things, they affected me, I have to say. Like it made me like feel not good enough, made me feel like I wasn't worthy or I didn't belong. And one of the things is that I remember I loved to dance and spin around in my room when I was alone. And a few times whenever somebody would walk in and see me, they looked at me like, something okay with her? Like, what's wrong with her? Is she okay? So like for me, like right now when people see me on social media, because I like dance, on social media, I post videos of me dancing. Sometimes more times than other times. So if you go on my Instagram, maybe you might see the last few ones, you didn't see any, but trust me, you'll scroll down and you'll see. Same thing if you go on my video section on my personal page on Facebook, which I do a public post, or if you're following me there, or on my my business page on Facebook, Love Life Coaching with Najeda. So I wouldn't like really allow that side of me to come out because in some way I was shamed about it. I was, so in some way, and for me, you know, I often tell people now, until you've seen me dance, you don't know me. Until you've seen Najeda dance, you don't know me, because it is what I'm most passionate about. And it allows me to show a part of myself that you may not see if you just know me from coaching or from speaking my political and social justice views or something, you know. So either way, and it really allows me, I call myself a free spirit. It allows me to really share, like be myself. And that's my thing. You know, I help women experience freedom, being their authentic self and following their dreams. Which for me is doing work you love and making an impact in the world doing it. So so when I think about that, so I wasn't really doing that. And for a long time, you know, I was like good student. I think I may have had a few hiccups in school in Haiti, but not really, like, it's not like it was a continuous thing. And then I came to the States, and I remember my 2 years, because I came and I did my two last years of high school here in the States, in Miami, actually, which I am back here right now in Miami, because I used to be in D.C. So I went and I decided to, you know, I was an honor roll student, so great student, that's another thing, being the good girl, being the good student, doing what my parents expected of me to do. And I went to university. I have to say, I wasn't very clear exactly what I wanted to do. I remember even when I was in Haiti before I graduated from college, I mean, before I even moved to the States, I thought about being a lawyer at some point, but there was something that was like psychology was calling me. So I went and I decided that I was gonna be a psychologist. That's what I was looking to do when I first entered college. So from a girl who's like honor roll student in her two last years of high school, I was flunking in college because I did not go to a counselor. I picked courses. There were like 400 level courses and I just walked in. And if you're listening to me, because I know there might be people from all over the world, like, you know, if you're not familiar with, when you start college, usually you're doing like 101 or something, 100, 200, you're not doing 400. It's like 4 years, people who are like in their 4 year of college. So I was flunking, and I really think that now that I think about it, I think that as a part of me, I just didn't really know what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be there most likely. So, but there was no gap year. Although, I mean, when I said I was working, because I started working, I think probably the same year that I moved to the States, or maybe like a few months later. I'm sure it was either, because I'm trying to think, I don't remember if it was like my first, like, because I moved in November. So either way, but you know, I was working retail. For my first job was at TJ Maxx, and I worked at Express, and I did Banana Republic. Anyway, so there was no such thing as a gap year, not in a Haitian household. You were just going to, like, you were going to school, you were going to college, you were gonna, you know. So either way, my parents were pretty embarrassed because I was, I had gotten some warnings, I was put on probation, and then finally they asked me to withdraw from the university. So I ended up at a community college. They were so embarrassed. So in some way, some was like, you know, when you're doing good, they're proud of you, but when you're doing bad, they're embarrassed by you, and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so either way, ended up going back to school, and then I was like, okay, what do I really like what resonates? Because a lot of the stuff wasn't really resonating with me, you know. When I think about it, I guess in some way I've always done well, especially after high school, when it's something that really matters to me. And because I've always been, I grew up in a home where politics was talked about. My mom was an activist, strong views. My mom was all about women's rights and really a political activist as well, a social justice activist. So for me, these are things that I grew up around. So I never, even when my voice was shaking, I would always speak my truth in these areas. So I found myself really doing well. And that's when I decided to get my degree. I got my bachelor's in international relations, because these courses, looking at the politics and all of that, the geography of Latin America and the Caribbean, like, I love these courses. So that's how, and I graduated, I was on the dean's list when I went back to the university and got my bachelor's degree. So either way, so pretty much, and, you know, then I was like, okay, at some point I was like, I'm going to go for my master's. And of course my parents were happy about it. When I think about it, right now, the life that I'm living, and that's one of the things I shared with a friend the other day, is that that's not the life they would have wanted for me. And I think sometimes they disapprove of the life I'm living. I know my dad disapproves of the dancing, because the other day my mom was like, oh, you know, he says you're always on the Facebook and you're dancing. Like, what is that? And for a long time, I didn't share that side of me because I was afraid of people who are going to judge me, you know, men talking about, oh, like trying to like check me out, or send, you know, making comments about my body, you know, like sexual or women thinking, oh, she's showing off, you know, whatever it is. So at some point, you know, even before, I'm trying to think about, oh no, that was after college, but at some point when I hit 30, when I was about to be 30, actually, one of my girlfriends had mentioned to me about landmark education. And I remember, like, probably like 2 years prior, maybe even actually, it was almost 3 years prior, she introduced me to it. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it all. But at some point, it's like, I just knew that I couldn't go on the way things were going. So I registered for the landmark form. So landmark was my first, you know, official, really personal development expense, like investment in myself. Obviously, books are, but I just think that they're not as powerful as, for example, going to Landmark Education or working with a coach. The reason I say this is because of the training I've done at Landmark, because of the coach training I've done, not only in me becoming a coach and working with coaches, I get a lot more from personal development books now that I do. So either way, so when I think about it, my whole life, I mean, up to a certain point, up to the maybe I would say the past, I don't know, 10 years or so, and it's just developing and developing and developing, I was living a life based on what society told me to be and told me to do. I wasn't really allowing myself to explore and get to know who I really am, what do I love, and also get let people see me. The only area that I would say that I don't even like to use the word comfortable, because I know that my political views are not everybody's political views, you know, because I grew up in a home of activists, of people who are pretty vocal. My dad, even though he's not an activist, but he's very vocal about his political views. So in that sense, I never had an issue with that area. But the area that I had issues with is speaking about my feelings and sharing myself and allowing people to see that I don't have it all together, that I have doubts, that I have fears. Even now, like if I'll share a fear or something, my mom would, or I'll be like, why are you afraid? And it's like, but isn't that normal? But it's also because probably she was raised to not say it or to not, you know, so in a way we're taught to pretend that we're not human, you know, we're not allowing people to see that we're human. So until, like I said, really letting people see me, you know, and as I got to know, you know, I remember it's probably like 8 years ago, I was in a relationship, and I remember when I was with my partner at the time, and I was with him, and I went to two of his friends' place, was a couple, we went to this couple's place, and the guy was like, so Nijeda, you know, what do you like? And one of the things I noticed is that I didn't really have much. Yes, actually, I had met this person in politics. So obviously, everybody knew I was passionate about politics. They knew I care about Haiti. But really, didn't really know a lot about me, because at the time, I wasn't really sharing a lot about myself. And there's a lot of stuff about me that I didn't even know myself, you know? So, but now, I'll tell you a whole lot about me. And that's the thing I noticed, is that my whole life, in some way, I was taught, and I think a lot of us women were taught about, oh, don't say too much, or people don't want to hear about you, you know, you're focusing too much on you. So another thing is that I noticed, because even at times now, I find myself where if I'm talking about myself, like let's say somebody asked me, I remember when I discovered, that was a few years ago, about 4 years ago, I was big into Kundalini yoga. I still love it. I just don't practice it as much because I don't have a studio near me that has it. And for me, YouTube, those things, I've tried them. They just don't really work for me. The energy that I get from people in the class, I don't feel it the same. So either way, I remember going to this this gathering, and you know, and I started talking, and they were like, yes. And then as I was sharing, and I'm really excited, and I'm really sharing myself and sharing my life with those two men, there's a voice in my head that was like, oh, they don't want to hear about you, you need to stop it. And I have to ignore that voice, you know. And you know, now I'm like, I share myself on social media. When I was teaching Zumba, I never had a single video. And that's another thing. One of the things I learned from when I was teaching Zumba, because I was like really terrified about, are people going to like me? Are people not going to like me? Like, I was just like really terrified about it. And let me tell you, some people didn't like my classes and some people loved them. And one of the things I learned from Zumba that I've been able to apply in my business and in different areas of my life is that I'm not for everybody and everybody's not for me. One of my former coaches told me that once, it's, you know, you're not for everybody and not everybody's for you. And it's so true. And this is why, like, I'm okay that not everybody's for me. Although I do have to tell you, there are times that I have to remind myself of that. So, you know, I had to put myself out there and allow people to choose whether they like my style or not. And the same thing with, you know, so for me, when I took the time and really allowed myself to get to know who I am, get to know who Najeda is, get to know what is Najeda about, what does she love, what is it that she doesn't like, I don't steer away from hard conversations. I'm about hard conversations. So somebody who is not going to have a hard conversation is not somebody that really can be in my life. At least, you know, we cannot, like, I don't have time for surface level relationships. I don't like superficial relationships. So just to say that, you know, now I know, like, I really know. But the thing is that I had to really put myself out there and really get to know who I am. Like, I love to dance. So somebody who doesn't like the fact that I love to dance or doesn't like the fact that I'll post videos of me dancing on social media, hey, that's your problem. That's not mine. So the thing is, and I want to share this because it's something that I realized that I'm still developing, because that's another thing. You know, I think sometimes people think that, well, she's gotten to know herself. She embraces herself. She loves herself. So she is done. No, it's a journey. It's not a destination. Because sometimes I still find myself struggling and even find myself stopping from doing something or sharing something. So just the other day, you know, this past weekend, I was going to a baby shower. It was my yoga teacher's baby shower. So here's the thing. And that's something that I am realizing, is that not everybody knows everything about me. And when I say that, because there are things that I keep private because I choose to, but then there are things that it just depends on the setting that you know me. For example, when I go to yoga class, because of the setting, when I was in the yoga class in DC, because DC is a very progressive city, and many people who do yoga in DC are very progressive. And when something is going on, we talk about it in class. Where a place like Miami, they don't really do that, at least not where I go, at least from what I've seen of the places that I've gone to. So, for example, in my regular yoga class, we don't really talk about politics and social justice. So that side of me, people don't really get to see, because obviously if it's being talked about, then people will know. But even then, I noticed that I'm always very mindful. And that's when I'm like, okay, but you know what? People have to know the real me. So same thing with my Zumba class. Like, then when you become Facebook friends with me, or you follow me on Instagram, especially my Instagram stories, that's when you'll know that I'm a progressive, I'm a liberal, and I'm very progressive, you know? So the thing is that the other day when I was going to my yoga teacher's class, because here's the thing, because I'm a spiritual teacher, I studied A Course in Miracles. I'm actually doing it again. I'm studying again this year. I'm doing the audio with Marianne Williamson that I started in January, on January 1st. I've been studying to be a teacher of the course. I wanted to do the teacher manual more than anything because the course has been very big for me. Just wanted to know more, but I don't really want to be known as a Course in Miracles teacher like Marianne and other people and Gabby Bernstein. But the reason, because I know that some people, they like that side of me. They like that. And there's a part of me that kind of struggles sometimes of like, how are they going to feel, or are they going to like me still? when they get to know the Najeda that is the activist, the progressive, the one that has very strong political views, the one who's not into spiritual bypassing. Because there's a lot of people in the yoga community, there's a lot of people in the spiritual community who practice it a lot. There's a lot of people who have a lot of biases, and they're not willing to look at it when I call people out, you know? So, but one of the things that it brings me back to again, that not everybody's gonna like me, and it's okay. Those who don't like me, they just don't belong to, they don't belong in my life. So, you know, I feel like, so like I said, because I did say this would be really raw. So I would say my story is somebody who spent her whole life not from in many parts and most parts, not really knowing who she is, not really being her authentic self. But then at some point decided that, no, I need to know who I am. I need to forgive myself. I need to forgive people in my life. I need to be me unapologetically. I need to share my light. And the way for me to, the way that has gotten me to do this is by getting to know me and embracing all of me, even the parts about me. You know, one of the things I often say is that I am not perfect. I am not always love and light. I have a bad temper many times that shows up. Obviously, I'm working towards it. I'm working on what I know when it's happening. Sometimes I stop it before it even starts. Sometimes I stop it in the middle, and sometimes I don't. Obviously, I make amends. And I've gotten to a point in my life where even if it's scary, I find the courage to be myself. And I experience freedom speaking my truth. I experience freedom being myself, whether it is I'm dancing, whether it is I'm like sharing my political views, whether it is I'm sharing myself on the beach, jumping in my bikini, sharing a picture of me, you know, on the beach. Like everything that I do is an expression of me loving and honoring myself. Because if somebody were to tell me that you can't dance, you can't speak your truth on social media or anywhere, you can't share videos of you dancing, or you can share yourself on the beach, you can't share, then you're basically telling me to not be me. You can't have these hard conversations, and that's somebody who's not accepting of me. And you know, the other day when Colin Kaepernick came out with the ad, with the Nike ad that said, I guess I needed to look up the quote. You know what, actually, because I'm very comfortable in this setting, I'm actually gonna get on my Instagram now and look it up with you guys. I'm all about being my authentic self. So here's the quote, says, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. And I have to say, for me, where I'm at in my journey, and I'm not, and that doesn't mean that come, you know, next year or in 10 years, that's not gonna matter to me, because it's still going to matter to me. But I can say, and I can say today, that one thing that I believe in and I'm willing to sacrifice everything for me, is to be my authentic self, is to be able to share myself, to be able to do work that I love, that I'm great at, that allows me to be me. I am willing to sacrifice everything for that. And I am on a mission to empower as many people as possible to experience that freedom, that self-love, that is all about honoring yourself, loving yourself, being who you are, and doing work that lights you up, fulfilling your dreams, and making an impact in the world doing that. So that's what I wanted to share with you all. I'd love to hear from you. Did this resonate with you? Did any part of it resonate with you? Were you hiding as well? Were you not sharing your authentic self? Were you living your life based on what society, based on what your parents told you to do? I have to tell you, you know, many people thought that when I was going to DC that I was going to work with the Obama administration. I was going to look forward to work with them. I was going to work with a big nonprofit or some type of, you know, international stuff. That's my parents' dreams for me. That's what they would want. Just recently, mom was like, why don't you run for office? That's not my thing. I'm not going to say that I will never do it, because I've come to realize never say never. It's just that politics, as much as I have strong political views and I donate my time many times to political campaigns, but I'm not always wanting to be in the mood for politics. I'm not always wanting to volunteer my time. And that's one thing I have to tell you. That's one of the things that I've realized is about being my authentic self and being able to be with my groups of liberal friends and share my time, give my time to a campaign, but also be like, no, this is not for me, or I don't want to support this person, or that's just not what I want to do right now. Standing on my own. And that's what I truly believe. Like, I want people to be, you know, when I read Brené Brown's Braving the Wilderness, is that being able to, like, belonging in a group of people, but also being able to stand alone and knowing that I still belong, I'm still worthy, I'm still enough, being on, you know, standing on my own, not having to always be and following a crowd. So I did want to share this before I go, because that's what I was sharing, and then I jump into this. Like I said, you know, some people have looked at me. I moved to DC, which is where really I got to know more of myself a few years ago, a little bit over 8 years ago. So right now, around this time, 8 years ago, I was in DC. I spent almost 5 years there. And that's where I really got to know who I am. I found my purpose, which is still developing, like everything else. So a lot of people were like, wow, Najeda, we thought when you went to DC, you were going to work with the Obama administration. Or I thought you would have stayed in DC and worked with a nonprofit, you know, with a big nonprofit organization. Or, oh, why don't you run? I thought you would run for office or something. So in some way, you know, I think sometimes people see some of your interests and they think that that's the route you're going to go. And some of them will even say that's the route you're supposed to go with. But for me, it's about being true to me. And working with the Obama administration has never, like, well, I don't want to say never, maybe at some point or something, but since I was in D.C., I've never really wanted that. I never went for it, because I have to say, I feel like working with these type of political things puts me in a box. It doesn't allow me to be free and speak my mind. And also, this is just really not what I want to do. And I remember when I went to Landmark Education, they were doing some type of coaching, which is very different from the two coaching that I do. I feel like their coaching is very structured in the sense that it goes by the Landmark curriculum, where mine is more of a freestyle, like really allowing people to get to know themselves. I think Landmark follows their curriculum a bit much. I mean, it is their curriculum, so that's why for me it's not something that truly, like, I wouldn't want to coach. I wouldn't want to be a Landmark Education coach in the sense that, like, you know, having to follow their curriculum. But I think they're great. I have to tell you, they're hands down, I think they're awesome. Anybody who tells me, what do you think, I'm thinking about going to Landmark, I'll say, yes, awesome. I never forgot most of the stuff, everything I've learned at Landmark. So either way, I remember when I would see some of these seminar leaders and Landmark Hall leaders and, you know, advanced course leaders and self-expression and leadership, whenever I would see them, I'd be like, I would remember before I even knew about that type of the personal development world like this, I was like, wow, I want to do this. This seems like something I want to do, but I didn't know I didn't even know about coaching then. So just to say to you that there's something, if you're kind of like in a transition or you're feeling like you don't really know where you belong, you don't really know what you want to do, trust that gut feeling and just keep asking for guidance and explore, get curious, like really explore it. And listen to your heart, because that's another thing that I wanted to say, is that for me, I'm living a life. I can't say it's perfect. There, I go through many lows, and I have many highs as well. It's just I'm living a life that I'm doing my best. I'm working. I'm still working my way to living a life that is true to me. And for me, that means everything. That is that one thing for me that I believe in and I'm willing to sacrifice everything for, is to live a life that is true to Najeda, that is true, because I truly believe that that is when I can truly make a difference. I can make the impact that I was born to make. I can fulfill my purpose. And I think same goes with you. So again, like I said, I am going to wrap it up right now. This is actually so much that more than I thought it was going to be. If you enjoyed this and you'd like to, you don't want to miss any other episodes, I would love for you to subscribe. If you're watching me on YouTube, subscribe to my YouTube channel. You'll know every time I get a new episode out or I put a new video out. I'd love to hear some feedback. Please leave me a comment. Let me know what came up for you. Did this resonate with you? Is there anything you would love for me to discuss? I'd love to hear that. Same thing if you're listening to me on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, which is iTunes, which used to be iTunes. I'd love for you to subscribe. Leave me a feedback. I'd love for you to hear me a review. Actually, I'm asking you, leave me a review. Actually, I would love more people to know about this podcast. And I've been told that people know more about it when you rate the podcast. Rate the podcast. Leave a review. Leave me a feedback. And if you want to find out more about me, visit my website, which is www.lovelightcoaching.com. Visit my website. You'll get to know more about me. You'll see more of my stuff. And also, if you are watching me on my website, or even if you're not, if you get on my website and you want to get more from me, you can subscribe. Or let's say you're on my website, you want to know more about these episodes, subscribe to my email list, which you'll see a box below where you can subscribe to my email list. I basically, what you can expect from me is a weekly video, a weekly podcast episode when I'm in my season, where it's 8 episodes. And I do a monthly newsletter, because I've made some changes. I do a monthly newsletter where I share an inspiration and some of the stuff that's going on with me. And you might get additional emails here and there where if there's something I want to share in the moment, or if I have an event or something coming up. But this is not something that's happening every week or every other week. So really, when my podcast is in the season that is on, you'll be hearing from me every week with a new episode. So, and again, same thing when you're watching with me on my website, leave me a comment. Let me know, did this resonate with you? What came up for you? Were you able to relate from it? And give me some feedback. I'd love to hear from you. So either way, I am going to go. So really today, I wanted to share more of myself, more of my story. I hope you are able to get to know. But like I said, you guys were my guinea pig, because I was like, I'm not going to make, because, you know, the clarity comes from taking action. So for me, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get it more concise and perfect, which really, I don't believe there's a perfection thing, by really sharing it. And I thought, you know what better way to share myself with my audience, with my email subscribers, than to let them know more into my world and into who I am. So that's what I wanted to share. Until next time, sending you all love and light. Take care.